Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 301 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of boys soccer today, but first we're going to talk a little football and a little real estate. My first guest is a realtor at Legacy Realty of Iowa, and she has been on the podcast a few times before. She is Janae Griffith. Janae, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Well, it's the first time you've been on since September when we were talking some Iowa football. Of course, since then, you know, there's been a lot of changes. Your son Quincy has been hired to become the offensive line coach at Drake and a new head coach, Joe Woodley. Mm-hmm. I see you got a Drake shirt on, so you're all ready for football, aren't you?
I am.
Well, you said you heard from Quincy. What's going on with him?
Yeah, right now they're in the thick of spring practice, and he said they're very excited for the future of the program, and he's promoting their spring game, which is on May 1st. I believe that's a Thursday night from 6 p.m. is the time of it at Drake Stadium, and he's encouraging everyone to come out and watch the spring game and have some fun. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful night.
All right. I don't know if you've looked ahead to their schedule. Do they have any interesting road trips? Do they still play San Diego or play at San Diego at all?
Yes. Actually, that's the one I want to take. I have a college friend that lives in San Diego. I called her right away and said, hey, we're coming. So that one is October 14th. I can't really remember all the other ones, but yes, they have, I think there's some East Coast ones too. It's near New York City, but it's not New York City. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I can't remember the name of the town. But yeah, they'll be traveling quite a ways. Their first two away games are South Dakota and South Dakota State. So
those will be tough ones.
Yes.
Well, let's talk a little real estate too. What's new in your world?
Well, this is the hot time of year for real estate, for listing and buying. It's the spring market. It's always been very busy for realtors. We still need more listings. Our inventory is low. I looked this morning and there are 337 active listings in Ankeny, ranging from $119,000 up to $3.4 million. There's a house for sale in that price point here in town. So we need more to choose from. So it's been busy. I think a lot of people have a lot going on now, which is what we love. I want to give a shout out to some business partners in Uptown Ankeny today. From 1 to 3, they had a light lunch for realtors to take advantage of. It was the Funky Zebra, Gladys Cupcakes, Porch Light Coffee, and XOXO. And they invited us to come up, and we had a sandwich and some coupons and did a little shopping. So that was really, really nice that they did that. So I really appreciate that. As a teacher, I was a former teacher, we have a lot of teacher appreciation kind of things, but as a realtor, we don't always, see or hear about that. So
sure.
Felt some love there and wanted to shout them out here so that people know that, they're reaching out to lots of different people to get them into their stores and shop in there. It's a great little setup up there. I don't know if you've been there lately.
My wife loves the Funky Zebra.
So. Oh, yeah. In that coffee shop, local Ankeny guy started it. That's what's neat about it. So, lots of, I went to a meeting yesterday with the Des Moines Economic Development Group. They were our speakers, and so that was super interesting. I learned a lot about that. They work with 12 counties in the Des Moines and surrounding area, trying to bring businesses to our area. What I learned was, I knew that the Des Moines Farmers Market was one of the top five. It's number one now. It's the biggest farmers market in the nation.
I believe it. It's huge.
And and that's just something I was like, wow, I go in the nation. That's pretty crazy. But I love the Des Moines Farmers Market, and so do you know, obviously thousands and thousands of people. They said they average like 30,000 people a Saturday. And they're getting ready to start that up here, I think the first weekend in May.
Think so, yeah.
Yeah, so they are the group that organizes that among many, many, many other things. So, and they work with local chambers in those 12 counties. So they work with our Ankeny Chamber, and they work with, you know, Altoona, West Des Moines, and all the different chambers in those 12 counties, and just try to bring people to Des Moines. And we were, they had a list of cities like St. Louis, Minneapolis, Omaha, and then Des Moines. There was maybe another one in there too, kind of in the Midwest. And we led in like growth and bringing, you know, new businesses to our area. We also led those same cities in our graduation rate in our high school. So the last few times I'm on here, I feel like I'm promoting Ankeny, I'm promoting this part of Iowa and this part of the nation, and it's true. We have a lot to be proud of, and people move here and end up loving it. I think they're like, oh, this is like a hidden gem in the nation, you know. Cost of living is good, education's good, all those great things. So it's a great place to be a realtor, because I think it's an easy sell. Like, Ankeny is an easy sell, and the Des Moines Metro, so.
Well, this town just keeps growing. I mean, I'm amazed. I bike around town a lot, and yeah. I can't believe all the new homes that are going up everywhere.
Yeah, if you're in the market for a home, I went to, we have agent tour every Wednesday, and there was a house right on the bike trail today. It's for sale. It's really kind of cool. So,
well,
if you're interested, let me know. Give me a call. I'll show it to you.
Well, I talked with Rhonda about this a week or two ago, about how these tariffs are affecting, you know, the building costs for some of the homes.
Yes.
And then as far as the stock market going up and down, do you find, like, with the stock market ups and downs, does that affect people's buying moods, whether they're a little hesitant or not? Or
I think so. I think people get a little, I think they maybe don't jump right in. They maybe take a step back, reevaluate. So yeah, it does affect many things. It affects interest rates a lot of times too. They've been going up and down. But even with all of that said, we're still growing. You know, people are still moving here, and either to Ankeny or Central Iowa. People have to have a place to live, and there's a shortage of housing. They said it yesterday, not just Ankeny, but the Des Moines whole area partnership, how we still have a shortage of homes, and how they're trying to figure out how to turn some of the office space that's empty in Des Moines. You know, after COVID, a lot of people didn't go back to the office, how to turn that into housing, and just lots of projects. There's a lot of projects they can't share with us because they have to sign NDAs, you know, big businesses that they're bringing in. But, you know, they did talk about that as, you know, irrelevant too, because they were talking to a bunch of realtors. So, yeah.
Well, if anybody's interested in getting a hold of you, if they want to look for a house, what's the best way to get hold of you?
They can call me, 515-321-0712, or just Google me, see my website, janae@janaegriffith.com. So.
All right, Janae. Well, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate what all you do. So.
You bet.
Bye.
All right, well, we're going to focus on the Ankeny Centennial boys soccer team tonight. In a little while, I'll be talking to two of the standouts on the Jaguar squad. But right now, my next guest is the head coach of the team. He has guided Centennial to a 4-2 record. The Jaguars extended their winning streak to 3 games with a 2-1 victory over Ankeny in the annual Ankeny Derby on Monday night. Joining me now is Brian Duex. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, after your team struggled to a 5-12 record last year, which was the only losing season you've had in your tenure at Centennial, you know, you guys are already just one win away from matching that victory total just 6 games into the season. You know, you have to feel very good about where this team is at, especially compared to last year.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of these guys who were contributing this year were sophomores that were contributing last year, and we're still young this year, but we were even younger last year.
Well, before we break down Monday's game, I just wanted to recap the whole season to this point a little bit. You guys opened the year at the Iowa City West Invitational, where you dropped the 2-1 decision to West before rebounding with a 4-1 win over Cedar Rapids, Washington. I know you felt like the team, you know, was on the right track, but then you guys came back a few days later and you lost to Waukee Northwest 3-1, and you called that an awful performance by your squad. You know, were you able to figure out why your team was so uninspired that night?
You know, no. I think the boys have finally realized, though, that if we put forth the effort that is needed to win, we're going to be able to compete in anyway. I just felt that night, for whatever reason, they were flat, and Waukee Northwest, to their credit, punched us in the mouth, and we never fought back.
Well, the good news is that you have, since reeled off three straight wins. You guys rebounded last weekend with a pair of wins at the Council Bluffs Lewis Central Invitational, where you overcame an early 1-0 deficit to beat Lewis Central 2-1, and then you followed that with a 1-0 shutout over Omaha Scott Catholic, who was the 5-time defending Class B state champion in Nebraska. You know, you told me that the guys played really well in both games, although they were very different games, but you showed, you know, what can make this team special. So it seems like that weekend maybe was a turning point for this team.
I hope so. You know, we do a lot more travel than a lot of other teams. We do 2 overnights. We do those on purpose so the boys grow closer, not in a soccer environment. So they're forced, you know, I put them in hotel rooms with guys that they don't hang out with all the time. Forcing them to become a little bit more friendly with each other, become a little more of a family.
Well, then on Monday, you guys overcame the cold and windy conditions to beat Ankeny, avenging last year's 1-0 loss to the Hawks. And I know you were concerned about stopping Ankeny's Landon Benj, who entered the game with 6 of his team's 10 goals. And he did score off a Cal Wahlberg assist midway through the second half. But by then, you guys had already built a 2-0 lead, and you were able to hold on for the win. You know, so was that the biggest key to coming out on top, being able to contain Benj?
Oh, absolutely. You, like in the article you put out, Landon is inevitable. If you play fantastic for 79 minutes and 50 seconds and you give Landon 10 seconds, he's going to score. And that's really what happened. We kept him under wraps the entire game, except for one moment. And that one moment, he'll do it every time. He did it to us last year. He did it to us again this year. But this year, we were really good in the first half. Really, really good. We dominated the entire game. Second half, Trevor made some adjustments. We weren't quite as good. But I think that game should have been a little bit more lopsided than it turned out to be.
Well, the two guys sitting here with us tonight, Brock Brazo and Tate Duex, combined to provide both of your goals in the first half, and they came just within a few minutes of each other. At about the 30-minute mark, Tate took a corner kick that Brock was able to head into the goal. Then shortly thereafter, Brock sent a beautiful cross over to Tate, who was able to finish after a deflection from making a goalkeeper, Jackson Dockendorf. You know, in a rivalry game like this, you know, you need your best players to make some plays, you know, and these two guys certainly did, didn't they?
Absolutely, and that was the plan. You know, we changed Brock's position. We've moved Tate around. In this game, I knew that Dylan Globiak was going to be a monster, and he was. But I knew if I put Tate on one side, Brock on the other, if Dylan had to go cover Brock, Tate was one-on-one on the back post. And that's exactly what we talked about before the game, and that's exactly how we scored the second goal.
Well, Tate has now scored 8 of your team's 11 goals this season, and you told me over the weekend that you were moving him around in different positions to try to prevent your opponents from double and triple teaming him. You know, so were you able to get him the ball in some favorable situations the other night?
Yeah, I mean, Trevor never really doubled him. I would say they did maybe in the first 10 minutes because they were playing like a 5-3-2 in the first half, so they had an outside back and an outside center back that were kind of shielding him and trying to prevent him. But then in the second half, there were multiple opportunities where we were one-on-one, and that's what we're trying to do with both of these guys.
Well, Ankeny certainly has a dangerous side. The Hawks had scored a total of 6 goals while winning a pair of games over the weekend, but they had just 10 shots, you know, on Monday, and 4 of them were on goal. I thought your freshman goalkeeper, Will Kruger, did a nice job. You know, have you been happy with the progress that he's made?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a freshman. We know that he's going to make some mistakes, but he's courageous. He's a great goalkeeper with his hands. He's got to get a little bit better with his feet. And then his decision-making. But again, he's a 15-year-old kid. He's going to make some mistakes. And we're willing to deal with that for now, knowing that he's going to be better come end of May when we need him the most.
Well, the two teams have now traded victories in each of the last 6 meetings, dating back to 2019. And I don't know if that shows how competitive the rivalry is or just how close the two programs have been to each other, you know, over that stretch. You know, do you have a theory, you know, as to why neither team has been able to put together back-to-back wins here over the last 6 years?
All these guys play together. They're all friends, you know. Wahlberg, Kobo, those guys are at my house with Tate and Brock all the time. You know, they all know each other's strengths. They all know each other's weaknesses. It's just who can exploit them the most on any given game. And then who can keep their emotions in check a little bit. Being the rivalry game, you want to get hype, but you don't want to get too hype or you do something stupid. And we've been pretty good at staying even keel, calling it just another game, even though we know it's not. That's the best answer I got for you, Dan. It's there's been a lot of really good sides. You know, just imagine if Ankeny was still one school.
Oh yeah.
How good the soccer program would be if that was the case.
Well, let's look ahead now. You guys will host Urbandale on Friday, and the Jayhawks are now 2-1 in the conference and 3-1-1 overall after Tuesday's 1-0 loss to Waukee Northwest. Urbandale already has wins over Dowling Catholic, Southeast Polk, and Cedar Rapids Prairie. You know, so they're obviously a pretty good team, aren't they?
They are very disciplined. They're going to be very hard to break down. They're not the most effective going forward from what I've seen on film, but they're going to put bodies behind the ball, and they're going to be patient, and they're going to make us be patient to break them down. Otherwise, they're going to catch us on a counter or a set piece. It'll be very similar to the Lewis Central game.
Well, I know the initial rankings haven't come out yet. At least I haven't seen them if they have. But do you think you guys have done enough to put yourselves in the top 10 in Class 4A, or do you still have some work to do?
There's always work to do. You know, those two losses, I would say if we were undefeated, we absolutely would be in there. I think they probably will still put us in there, but it's never over until June 2nd, June 3rd, when's the state final this year?
Well, there are so many good teams in Class 4A, you know, and in the CIML in particular. And I know you haven't seen most of the teams yet, but from what you have seen and from what you know about the teams, you know, when you look at the Class 4A landscape, you know, who do you think are the top contenders to win state as of April 16th?
Well, if you would have asked me that before the season, I probably would not have said us. After six games, I would say if we show up with the right mindset and the right work rate, we can compete with anybody. Valley's obviously, you know, you're looking at the traditional powers. Valley's going to be good. Johnston's going to be good. Dowling's going to be good. Iowa City West. You know, the whole CIML, I call it a buzzsaw all the time. It's a buzzsaw. I mean, even the bottom of the CIML, whether that's Waukee, whether that's, you know, us last year, they're really good teams.
Well, you mentioned your alma mater, Valley, of course, is a perennial power. The Tigers posted a 3-1 victory over Ankeny a week ago, and that gave Coach Aziz Afar his 600th career win. Now, you played for Aziz, right?
I did. Back
in the day?
I did.
Can you see yourself coaching long enough to get 600 wins?
No. No, I cannot.
That's quite an accomplishment.
It is. He's been there forever. And, you know, I've talked to my wife. I've talked to my ADs. You know, when Tate and this group's gone, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I could find an assistant to help me with the all-year-long stuff, the weights, the off-season, open gyms, all that stuff, I'd do this forever. But that stuff makes it a grind. It's, you know, from November to March, I'm at school 5 days a week. And then once March hits, when I actually love it, I'm there 6-7 days a week sometimes. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, it depends where Tate ends up. It depends where, if Ty stays at Western Illinois, you know, if I need more time to go watch them, then maybe I hang it up. If not, I have no problem doing this forever. Just need some help on that November to March stuff.
We mentioned Ty, and I wasn't going to ask about him, but, you know, I saw that he played a lot this year. Did he have a pretty good freshman season?
He did. He did. You know, I tell people, I think Ty went in as under-recruited. I don't think Eric Johnson was expecting much from Ty. So he started out really not playing or playing a position that he wasn't comfortable with. And then as the season progressed, I would say the last five games, he was their best player.
Hmm.
So, and now he's a glorified starter. He's earned that spot, and I think he's got a bright future at Western Illinois for the OVC next year. He's aiming high. He wants to win Player of the Year or be first team all conference. I mean, he's aiming for the stars, and good for him. And he's putting in the work to do it.
Well, your Centennial team, you know, has a young team, which is six seniors on the varsity. So I imagine some people, you know, maybe look at your roster and think that this team is a year away. Maybe you did too, you know, from really reaching its potential. But I know you guys aren't thinking like that. You know, I assume you feel like this, you know, this group has the potential to make a lot of noise this season, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, at the beginning of the year, I would have said, depends which group shows up. And I still think that's the case. You know, if the group that shows up against Northwest, we can get beat by a lot of teams. If the team that's rattled off three now, we can beat a lot of teams. And we've done this six games without Ben Ridlon. You know, Ben Ridlon played 40 minutes against Waukee Northwest because he's on a minute restriction because of his knee, tendonitis or something like that. And then as soon as the Northwest game was out, he's been sick ever since. I haven't even seen him besides for pictures the other day. So, you know, you add another big-time piece to the mix, yeah, we could contend.
Well, you told me last weekend that this team, you know, just needed to get over the hump and then stay over the hump. Well, it seems like you've done that. You feel like that's the key to reaching your ceiling, is to staying over that hump?
I think it's confidence. I think it's work rate. I think it's these boys buying into each other, believing in each other. You know, our group is young. Our group has a lot of talent. Our group is probably deeper than maybe any team I've ever had. And it takes these two plus Ben plus the other leaders to buy in that the other guys have a role, and they're going to contribute to that role. And if they do, we can go a long ways.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my other two guests tonight are a pair of juniors on the Centennial squad. To my left is a midfielder defender for the Jaguars, and he got his first goal and his first assist of the season in the win over Ankeny. He's Brock Brazel. How do you pronounce that? I have a hard time with that name.
Brazel.
Okay. I'll try to get it right next time. And to my right is the coach's son, who, as we discussed earlier, will be playing all over the field this season. He has already scored 8 goals, which ranks 3rd in Class 4A, while also contributing a pair of assists. He is Tate Duex. Tate, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm going to pause this just for 1 second. All right, we're back. We just had to let Coach Duex back into the room. I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you guys. Brock, you guys came into the season after going just 5-12 a year ago. You know, what kind of expectations did you have? Did you think this group could have a big turnaround this year?
At the start, I mean, I had like somewhat expectations to go deep in the tournament, but after the City West, I knew that we could play pretty good soccer, compete with anybody. And then after the Northwest game, kind of like dropped back down. But after this 3 straight wins, kind of expectation come back up.
Well, Tate, you joined the team in mid-season last year. I know it was a big adjustment for you. You know, it seemed like you guys really struggled. You know, you struggled to come in and mesh with all the guys. But after having an off-season to train with everybody, you know, you look a lot more comfortable this season. Is the difference from last year to this year, you know, kind of like night and day for you?
Yeah, I mean, coming in last year, it was obviously a big jump in skill level throughout the team. I was used to a lot of people just, like, me standing up top and just getting the ball to me. And then that was not the case when I came back. I had to kind of like work for the ball, like try and get it. But working with the team throughout the spring with VSA Rush and now like being 6 games in, it definitely is a lot better than last year. So,
well, I broke down the season thus far with Coach, so we're not going to recap all of those games again. But I did want to ask you guys about a couple of things. Brock, you told my reporter Steven the other night that you were kind of down after missing that PK in the win over Lewis Central, but your teammates obviously picked you up by rallying for the victory, and then you guys, you know, followed that up the next day with a win over Omaha Scott Catholic. You know, do you think that weekend was a big confidence builder for the team?
Yeah, obviously after that Northwest game, we were pretty down, and obviously being down 1-0 to Lewis Central, obviously we know we were the better team, but just keep grinding, got the win over that Lewis Central.
And Tate, your dad told me that the game against Scott Catholic was like a heavyweight fight with both teams trading punches. You know, that's a team that's a perennial power in Nebraska, and I'm sure you enjoyed getting the win against that team. Do you think that's a team that could be pretty competitive in the CIML?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, throughout the game, we obviously got an early goal. I drew a PK and we scored it. And then after that, it was pretty close. And then last 20 minutes, it opened up a lot more. And to be honest, we probably should have scored 3 or 4 more. We missed a lot of one-on-ones and a keeper, but ended up holding on with the 1-0 win and got away with it. But yeah, I definitely think they could compete in the CIML.
Well, let's talk about the Ankeny game now. You guys were looking to avenge a 1-0 loss from last year, and of course, Landon Benj produced the only goal in that game. You know, Brock, was Lando pretty much the main focus of your defensive scouting report? You know, were you guys pretty determined not to let him beat you again?
Yeah, but, you know, they also have Kyle Wahlberg. Like, that's what Lando is most of service from. They also have Keegan Kobo, Austin Lundberg, and you also got to focus on those guys and stop them, and Landon really has nothing going for him, so yeah.
And Tate, we talked to your dad about how you've been moved around to some different positions this season. You know, going into the Ankeny game, how did you think, you know, they were going to defend you, and what was the plan to get you the ball in some good situations?
I didn't really think they were going to, like, man-mark me, because if they do, then they were probably going to put Keaton or Austin on me, and those are two of their, like, really good attacking pieces, helping out Lando and Cal. So I didn't think they were going to man-mark me, so I wanted to try and stay high and see if I could find the ball that way. It didn't work out as well as I wanted to in the first 20 minutes. But then I started roaming. Me and Brock kind of, I switched so Brock could mark Kibo a little better. And then I kind of just roamed a little more and found the ball. So, yeah.
We guys took the lead late in the first half when Tate found Brock on a corner kick and he scored on a header. Now, Tate, there was a pretty strong wind that was blowing on Monday night. So did you have to adjust your, you know, your kick for the win? And were you specifically looking to find Brock on that kick?
Yeah. Well, about 10 minutes before that, I was on the opposite side and I hit across and the wind kind of, I was an outswinger, I guess, but it went kind of nowhere near where I was trying to get it. So based off that, I kind of just tried to get some height on it, curl it into the mixer, and Brock just happened to be there. So,
well, and Brock, that had to feel good to get your first goal of the season. You know, the ball couldn't have been placed much better, could it?
No.
Well, and then just a few minutes later, you guys connected again for another goal. This time, Brock, you crossed the ball over to Tate, and he was able to finish. You know, once you saw that pass got past the Ankeny defenders, was there any doubt in your mind that he would be able to finish?
I saw his first shot got deflected, but after that, I knew the rebound was pretty much open net after Jackson Clark the first save.
Well, yeah, Tate, you still had to beat Jackson, you know, on that shot. And, you know, he did manage to deflect your initial shot, but then it came right back to you. You really didn't have time to think. You just had to react, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, my first initial thought after I saw the ball, it was a great ball, but it was bouncing. So my first initial thought was just put it on frame, see what happens. He did get a good save. He shifted the far post. He ended up saving it, but I hit it hard enough where he wasn't able to catch it. So I was able to just tap it in after he saved it.
Well, Brock, with a 2-0 lead at the half, you know, and playing in those conditions, were you pretty confident the team could hold on to the lead in the second half? Did you guys make, you know, many adjustments at the half?
We didn't make much adjustments, but obviously just, like, protect the lead, you know, be smart about the lead. Obviously, with Dylan, you got to, like, pressure him, make him use his left foot, so the big balls aren't as good as with his right foot. They just kick up to land them, but, yeah, we didn't make that much adjustments.
And Tate, you guys did give up a goal to Benj midway through the second half, but Ankeny was unable to get another one. That was the 7th goal of the year for Landon, so he's right behind you on the list of scoring leaders in Class 4A. And I know you guys didn't go head-to-head, you know, very much, if at all, on Monday, but, you know, you have to have a lot of respect for that guy and what he's been able to do this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every team knows he's a threat. He's obviously very, very athletic. I think if you do know his weaknesses, he can be pretty easy to shut down. You just have to not give him that 10 seconds, like my dad said before, and you'll be fine, because he did get those 10 seconds and he ended up scoring. So,
well, we talked with Coach about the potential for this team. You know, I'm sure you both like to get to the state tournament. Brock, what's going to be the key for the squad to achieve that goal?
I'll just say putting the work together. Obviously, we have a lot of good individuals here. I think that's what the problem was last year, just individuals wanting to do everything. I think what changed this year is us putting the work together.
And Tate, you're obviously going to attract more and more attention if you continue to score goals like you have been. Do you think it'll be important for the team to develop some other consistent scoring threats to take some of that pressure off you?
Yeah, we've been talking about that, me, Darby, and my dad. We've been thinking, that's why one of the reasons Brock is out wide now is so he can hopefully become more of a threat, so they can't just focus on me, because if they do, then Brock will be able to score and get assists as well.
Well, before I let you guys go, I just had a couple other questions for you. Of course, both of you grew up in the shadows of your older brother, who was, you know, also excelled on the pitch. Brock, your brother, Bo, was a standard on the last few Centennial teams before he graduated last year. Do you think trying to keep up with him when you were younger helped you to become a better soccer player?
Yeah, obviously in the backyard, I was very competitive about playing the weight and stuff. But we were kind of different players. Bo was kind of both like the physical leader type guy, like put in challenges, work hard. I'm kind of like the opposite, kind of like the connecting piece in the team. Obviously, the team needs me a lot, but, yeah.
And Tate, we talked about your brother Ty earlier with Coach. He was a 3-time All-Stater at Centennial, where he joined your dad in earning that rare distinction. He's now a freshman at Western Illinois. You know, now you got a chance to play with Ty again last year when you joined the team. Now, I know you guys didn't have the kind of success that you're hoping for, but you still must have enjoyed the experience of being able to be teammates with him again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I ended up playing with him after that season in the summer. We went to Colorado for the national tournament. We ended up winning that, but yeah, we obviously enjoyed it a lot. Didn't have the success we wanted, but that's something that we still look forward to in college. Hopefully we can link up again. But,
well, of course, Ty had to go through the recruiting process, and now you are as well. And I know you've taken some visits. So where do you stand with your recruiting? How many offers do you have?
I think I have 5 at the moment. Western Illinois, Drake, William & Mary, American University, and Northeastern University. I think I'm close to making my decision. Probably early May to mid-May is probably when it's going to happen. But yeah.
Were you enjoying the process, or are you maybe looking forward to picking a school and getting it over with?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm enjoying it. It's my first, like, ever process like this. I've obviously enjoyed all the visits I've gone on. Very grateful for all of them. But I think there is a part of me that kind of just wants to get it over with, kind of like get a little bit of a relief so I can just kind of just focus on what I'm doing now.
Well, you guys will have to let me know when you do make that decision. We'll get a story out right away on that. And Brock, what are your future plans? Are you hoping to play at the next level as well?
Yeah, I do plan on playing at the next level, but if that's not the case, I'll probably just go to a four-year college.
Sure. Well, that's what it's there for. So, well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in today, guys. Appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty of Iowa, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, it's not just about the transaction, it's about building your legacy. Well, I thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Realtor Janae Griffith, along with Ankeny Centennial Boys Soccer Coach Brian Duax, and two of his top players, Tate Duax and Brock Brazeau. I still am not sure if I pronounced that name right. That's a tough one for me. But anyway, I appreciate the time from all those folks today. We'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I'm guessing we'll probably be focusing on the Drake Relays.